On today's episode of the Natty Boys podcast, we discuss injuries to Bryce Harper and Usain Bolt. We talk about how consistent and fair Roger Goodell is with his disciplinary actions. We recap the Bengals' first preseason game, and we throw in a sprinkle of Kyrie and Ball family talk. Finally, we get things wrapped up with our fantasy draft of our favorite television shows, and I think we realize that we all watch just a little bit too much TV. Enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Natty Boys Podcast, presented by Mill Iron Sports.
And thanks for tuning in to the Natty Boys podcast. It is Tuesday, August 15th, and Bryce Harper is dead.
Good. Good riddance.
You know, like seeing his flowing hair as he like went to the ground to grab his knee. Yeah. Like I felt bad for the guy, but then I was never. That's an attractive man.
Yeah, I had to watch the video like five times in a row before I actually saw what happened, because as soon as that helmet pops off, I get drawn to the hair, and I'm like, yeah. Oh, I didn't see the knee injury yet.
Yeah.
The funniest thing I saw was a frozen screenshot of it, where his helmet's down over his face and his legs going backwards, and it looks like he's doing the moonwalk.
M'lady. I saw people saying, M'lady. M'lady. Hat tipping.
Yeah.
You got to feel bad for the guy. The injury is almost exactly what happened to Cozart a couple years ago, where he stepped awkwardly off the back of the bag and his knee went the wrong way. It went the way your knee isn't supposed to go.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't think I've ever done that, but it looks incredibly painful.
I don't know. Sometimes walking around, I feel like my knees aren't supposed to go anyway, but.
Yeah. They're not even supposed to bend normally.
So what is the actual diagnosis? Because when I was looking through Twitter at first, I saw something that said, it looks like he's got an ACL and an MCL tear. And then most recently now I'm just seeing it's a bad bone bruise.
That's what it is.
Yeah, so that's what I heard. He didn't tear anything. It was just a bone bruise, which is, I guess, good news for the Nationals. He's still out indefinitely.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess we'll see how long he's actually out. Maybe they hold him back a little bit longer so he can get healthy for the playoff push.
Yeah, they're like 13 and a half games in first. It's not like they're...
Yeah.
It's not going to be a race to the final or the finish. So.
Yeah, you'd hate for him to aggravate that little bruise.
So are bases ruining baseball? Is the question.
I've already seen articles about how they need to treat the bags differently and stuff like that. So I mean, you it's say it jokingly, Hefe, but
make it like women's softball, where one side the runner goes and one side the first baseman
goes.
You
got the orange bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just run the bases like you were taught in youth in little league.
Yeah.
Like step on the front of the bag. Like I know that you can't change your stride the best. Like it's not as simple as just plant your foot somewhere different. But that's why you're taught to step on the bag that way.
Mm-hmm. Or just Pete Rose slide.
Yeah, all that could have been avoided if he just would have slid into first base.
Yeah, just Pete Rose
slid slide. Into some 14-year-old's DM.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I don't think they had DMs back then.
Well, I, for one, I'm glad that Bryce Harper is not going to be done for a while, and it seems like his career is not going to get knocked off track because... I mean, I don't know what else he would do if he didn't have baseball. I guess the next step for him is probably just ruining people's dinners by knocking on their door and trying to spread the good Lord's message.
I feel like if he was in any kind of door-to-door job like that, he'd be successful as hell just because of that hair.
Yeah. Is he Mormon?
Yeah, he's Mormon.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem Mormon.
Explain.
Mormon as fuck.
Explain yourself.
Well, you all know. I mean, he's just not the picture of Mormonity.
He's your stereotypical Mormon from Las Vegas who has a bad attitude.
Yeah. Makes sense.
We've all seen it.
I think he finally did make baseball fun again, though. So he was wearing that hat all off season.
Baseball's not meant to be fun.
No?
No. It's not a game.
Sticking with some baseball, we'll switch it over to the Reds. Joey Votto's 17-game hitting streak came to an end Sunday, but he still has another streak intact, which is pretty impressive. The 17-game hitting streak was the longest in the major, the longest active one in the major leagues until it came to an end. But now he's coming close to breaking another record, which is games in a row, getting on base twice in a row in the same game. So he's on. He completed that Sunday, making it 18, and the record's 20 by Barry Bonds. So he could. He's definitely coming close to that.
It's a cool stat, but it's one of those obscure stats. Is this ever really going to get much more than just a little blip on the bottom of the screen on SportsCenter?
Yeah. It's one of those ones where it almost seems like they kind of had to, like, back their way into a stat to, like, make it fit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you see for a pitcher, like, oh, his ER, like, he hasn't given up an earned run between the third and sixth inning, and that's the longest streak in the act in the major leagues.
Right.
And, like, that's cool, but... I mean, it's not a hitting streak. It's not a consecutive games with a home run. It's not consecutive on base streak. It's cool, and it shows the type of player Joey is, and it just proves that he is very undervalued and underappreciated.
I mean, it seems like he does this like once a season where he'll have a ridiculous stretch of getting on base for a number of games in a row. This is only different because he's doing it. Twice, he's doing it two times in a game now instead of one. Like, he'll have streaks of like 30 something games of getting on base once, but this is a little bit different.
Sunday,
he walked twice, and that's how he got on base.
It's just crazy when you think about his second half last year and what he's done this year. Like, he's pretty much just been off the charts since the second half of last year, and it's just a shame that the team's not better because he's been unreal.
Yeah, it seems like we're kind of wasting the prime of his career, unfortunately, on a rebuild.
Mm-hmm. I was gonna say when he signed that contract, he signed it with a team that was on the rise too. So it's not like he just cashed in knowing that he was gonna suffer through this.
Right.
He was on a team that looked like it should be competing year in, year out for at least the division, and if not the pennant.
And the part I like about Votto is it at least seems like he's still having fun playing, and he's still a good teammate even though they're not doing so well, where most stars you would see would be flipping out and trying to move, and I know there's not a lot of options out there for him because of the ridiculous contract, but he seems to be a good teammate still.
I don't think he's ever been one of those atypical stars. He stands out. He's his own player. He's a weirdo, which I kind of like, but
I agree.
One of the funny things from Saturday night's game was Mesoraco got ejected. He got thrown out for talking shit to the umpire. And twice in the same game, so twice in Saturday's game, players had swung at a third strike, and it hit them on the hands, and the catcher ended up catching it. So the ump called them out both times. And once it was Kivlahan, I think the second one was Duvall. So like they got hit on the hand with the ball, and they threw their bat, but it got called as an out because the catcher caught it, and the umpire thought that it actually hit their bat.
Yeah.
So they reviewed both of them, and they still both ended up being out because on a replay, you can't cut close enough in on the hands to see like did the ball catch the hand or did it catch the bat.
That's why I've been saying they need sensors in the batting gloves.
See if that impact actually happened. So I mean, it's such a hard thing to debate that the call in the field is almost going to stand the entire time. But seeing Mesoraco flip out like that's not something that Mez normally does.
No, though other times that he's gotten ejected, he went nuclear pretty quick too. So you know he's got that quick flip where he goes from the just really nice, polite guy to very scary and very...
And this is actually the second time he's been thrown out of a game by this particular umpire.
Yeah, I think, is this the guy that he bumped previously when he ended up?
Yep. Okay, and that was in 2012. That was 5 years ago. So, yeah. I mean, it's pretty obvious that Mez just doesn't like this guy. And he's still he still knows that this guy is trying to screw him over. But
I love the thumbs up the whole time. Too. Yeah. Good job, buddy. Like, it's very sarcastic. Like, oh, yeah, good job. You made a great job.
It was hilarious.
Yeah. I don't, and I'm sure things would be different if I was ever in that position, but coaching or even probably playing, I think I'd probably set a record for ejections in a season. Just for the simple fact of yelling at balls and strikes, or probably getting a bad reputation with one of the umps like Mez has, where if I don't like the guy, I'm not going to respect his call. And I always thought it'd be fun to get thrown out of a baseball game and kick dirt all over the place.
That was kind of Votto's MO there for a while there, where like two or three games a season, he would get thrown out of a game for arguing balls and strikes. Like an ump would call a strike and he would, you know, just like Mez did a couple years ago, he would just go nuclear on him. Mm-hmm. You know, he would black out and just start yelling.
That's because he didn't want to stand next to Phillips for nine innings.
Well, the last time I remember Joey getting ejected, and he may have been ejected since then, but I believe he was even walking back to the dugout, and he didn't even really show up the ump. He was just, I think he got called out on strikes and was walking down the line to dropping his helmet off and going to his going to first for the next inning. And he either said something or the ump didn't like his body language. Mm-hmm. And when he tossed him, that's when Joey ran at him and he bumped him and he got suspended for a couple games too.
Yeah.
It almost seemed like during that play that Votto was like yelling at himself, not the umpire. Like he was, you know, pissed off at himself that either he didn't swing or that he swung and missed, you know, whatever the case was. But yeah, the umpire just didn't like something about the way Joey was acting that day.
Yeah. And that's one of my favorite things throughout the season is hearing Joey off camera scream fuck as loud as he can when he's down in the dugout and gets mad after a strikeout.
Yeah, you can usually catch a few of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The best is when Jim Day's on camera and you can see in his eyes, he's like, whoa, that definitely got through.
Yeah. There was one play on Saturday. Scooter Gennett hit like it was a foul ball, but he smoked it like right down the first baseline. And a kid had his glove and caught it. And like, it was like a 16 or 17 year old kid that had his glove, and like, they kept showing the kid's face and the kid just kept saying, fuck, like, I can't believe I fucking caught that. You know, like he said it several times. Shot. You could just see him mouthing the word fuck.
As soon as that ball went into the stands, everybody was like, oh, like, cause those are the types of hits that they really hurt people.
Like even Scooter Gennett, like he took his bat down and he was clapping at the kid. Like good job.
Yeah.
So moving on from ejections to suspensions, it looks like Zeke Elliott's going to be doing some time on the sidelines coming up.
Yeah, I think he'll end up with four. I know that they set it at six for some reason. Unless
so high,
I don't know, maybe the NFL is going to say no. Like we made our decision at six. We're taking a hard stance. Finally, they've got more evidence built against Zeke than they did Ray Rice, clearly.
Yeah.
So so I understand why they tripled the suspension time, but it's a bad situation. It doesn't sound like Zeke was innocent, but it doesn't sound like the NFL had what they needed to give him the maximum suspension for this.
Right.
Yeah, either. It's almost like the NFL is kind of just trying to throw stuff out there and see what sticks. Oh, we gave Ray Rice two games and we got destroyed for it. All right, we got to give the next guy would have been what, Greg Hardy. What did he get?
I don't even
his
remember.
His was a bunch of different stuff too. Yeah. So I think he either got a season or half a season. It was something.
Yeah.
And that's the way that they justified this six games for Zeke, is that it's like a pattern of his behavior. Because he has done some bad stuff recently that's made the news, like the knocking out the DJ, like, you know, you can't find people that will testify against him for that. He had the speeding ticket where he was going over 100. He, what was the third thing?
The Mardi Gras thing.
Yeah, the St. Patrick's Day thing.
Where he pulled the girl's top down.
That was referenced in this suspension letter, too.
Yeah.
And that's what, when I first had heard, I was like, man, that's harsh for Zeke. And then I'd started thinking of everything that DB had said, and I was like, yeah, I mean, he has done a lot of shit lately, so.
But he didn't get charged with anything by the cops because of the inconsistencies in the girl's stories.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
And that doesn't necessarily mean he didn't do it, but and that's the thing I see a lot right now, are people saying, how the hell can they suspend him for six games when he didn't even get charged by the cops, which, I mean, he doesn't need to for the NFL to suspend him. I mean, he doesn't have to break any laws for the NFL to suspend him if it's against their personal conduct policy. So I get that. Obviously, they feel like they've got enough to say that they believe he did something that warrants suspension. So,
and it was also the Columbus PD that couldn't find enough stuff to get him charged with things. And not to say that this is exclusive to Columbus and Ohio State, but just about any big school, it seems like a lot of guys, when things come out in the wash, it's like, well, yeah, like he probably did something, but they couldn't get that mm-hmm. you know, that smoking gun to.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't steal mm-hmm. crab legs.
Yeah, that's true. No, but I mean, it's clearly it's an issue, and we've talked about it on the show before, where Zeke's been known to have issues.
Yeah,
from the time he was in high school all through college, and now it's carried over into the NFL. And I can't remember there was one of the NFL running backs. Was it Emmitt Smith or who was it? There was somebody that came out today and said, you know, this isn't an instance of a young guy not knowing better. Like, this guy knows how to act. He's just not acting that way.
Yeah.
I'm just pissed about my fantasy team now.
Yeah, he was your keeper. Now what are you going to do?
Guess you have to wait and find out.
So moving on, Zeke is gone, but football's back.
It is back.
Kind of.
The Bengals had their first preseason game this past Friday. They won the meaningless game, and we got to see some of their rookies play.
Yeah. I was pleasantly surprised with some of the young guys. Unfortunately, we didn't get to see John Ross because he had a shoulder injury.
Yeah.
I've been a big critic of his, but I was excited to see Joe Mixon get through the entire game without assaulting a cheerleader.
That was good.
My favorite part was just to see the D-line kind of look revived. The whole team looked just so fast to me. Their linebackers look faster than they had in the past. Their D-line played amazing. It was nice to see Chris Smith.
He did look good on a couple
really
different plays.
Steal the game.
Yeah.
And then really see a lot of their younger guys perform, like Driscoll. And it was just fun to watch them. They were really, really fast. I think
Driscoll's kind of debuting for another team. Because it's rare that NFL teams take three quarterbacks, isn't it? The past couple of years, we've only had two.
It'll be interesting to see if something happens with McCarron, with some of the, you know, notable quarterbacks going down, and it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. I know a lot of it's been just rumors, but
yeah, and you heard the rumor that the Bengals turned down a second round pick for McCarron. There's been different accounts of that, whether that actually happened or not. But yeah, if it did, I'm not too happy about that as a Bengals fan.
Well, yeah, that the McCarron thing, the whole second round pick apparently never happened this year. It was last year.
Okay.
Like you were saying.
And they said that, you know, the Bengals have said the entire time that the price is a first round draft pick.
Which is such a loft. I mean, the guy's not good. A lot of people that are just Dalton,
I think he's
haters,
a great backup.
So
yeah,
he's a good backup. He's a very good backup to have.
But yeah, it's one of those things that, I mean, we've said it, and I know a lot of other people have said it too. You get that training camp injury or the, you know, the preseason injury, or someone goes down week mm-hmm. one or two, all of a sudden that price goes
teams
way
get desperate.
Up. Yeah,
yeah.
So,
and I think that Driscoll, if anything, is showing that he would be a great number two.
Right.
I mean, yeah, it's been one game so far.
And honestly, all accounts for, you know, training camp is that McCarron hasn't really had a great camp. So
did he run much offense? I haven't watched the game. I watched the beginning of the game, and then
he
kind of came in and out of it, and it, I felt like he,
I think he played till halftime.
I felt Driscoll,
yeah,
did
he played till halftime, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Lapham was the one that had said that his camp wasn't, I think it was Lapham that had said at one point that he has slightly struggled in camp a little bit with his accuracy. That Lapham was saying that when he had first come in before the end of the half. So it sounds like Driscoll, like you said, is working his way into the number two spot.
We saw our friends at Barstool Sports after one mm-hmm. of Driscoll's awesome runs said yeah, they can't wait to see him as a slot receiver in New England.
I thought that was pretty funny.
That was like in Madden when you pull back on the analog stick. He just literally just pulled up, let the guys hit, and then just took off down the sideline. That was a pretty sweet run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seemed like it seemed like Driscoll was scrambling a lot more. Like it didn't seem like he was comfortable passing the ball. He was running it, keeping it a lot.
Yeah, which if he ever has to come in to a game in the regular season, it's going to be because the offensive line got Dalton killed, so that's probably good.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's a real good asset to have. If you have a quarterback that can, you know, move in the pocket, and, you know, you don't have to rely on his throwing, but if he's good on his feet, I think that's an asset out there. And there just really aren't many guys available that can do that right now. So
it's hard to scramble in the pocket when you're on your knee the whole time.
I will say that I am going to watch. I am going to watch Hard Knocks just to see the reaction to the Driscoll play if it's on.
Yeah,
there.
I will too. I'm sure it's got to be.
It's going to be pretty hilarious.
Well, I can't wait to watch Hard Knocks to watch Aguayo get cut.
Yeah, I can't believe they spoiled that for us.
I know.
That is hilarious to me.
So was it last year that they picked him in the second round of the NFL
draft?
Yeah,
they did. Man. And if I'm not mistaken, didn't they trade up?
Do you think they were auto-drafting, maybe?
They had it set on alphabetical.
Yeah.
You see this in fantasy football every year. There's that one idiot that goes up and takes a kicker early on, and then everyone just shaking their heads like, oh, there's the Tampa Bay Bucks again taking the kicker in the second round.
I don't get it. Like, it just was such a stupid pick, and it was obviously didn't work out because you put so much pressure on that guy.
I mean, the Bengals picked one in the fifth round this year, which I was just a stretch in some drafts, but doing it in the second round, holy shit, he better be a game changer.
Yep.
If you're going
to
be doing that.
Yeah, he was for the wrong direction.
Yeah, just the wrong way. But now he's going to a place where it's really easy for kickers because it's not windy at all. He signed with the Bears.
Yeah.
So
super forgiving fans too.
Yeah, they should be good.
At least it has a happy ending. Moving on to somebody that didn't have such a happy ending to his career. Usain Bolt got hurt on his final race as a professional sprinter.
I thought this was going to be a lot more interesting of a topic when I heard happy ending.
Sorry, I'm to bore you.
I thought someone got caught in a massage parlor or something. Yeah, that sucks. I mean, I go back and forth on this guy so much. Sometimes I like the guy, sometimes I can't stand him.
I don't have a problem with him. No. I mean, he's not American, so I wasn't really rooting for him in any of the Olympics.
No.
Right.
But
it is one of those things, though, where you do kind of start to pull for him a little bit just because you want to see that dominance, that spectacle that he brings.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't want to say it's him versus Phelps because obviously there's two separate sports. They're not competing against each other. But, I mean, the last couple Olympics that we've had, those have been the two big storylines. Like, they're just dominating. They're setting records for gold medals won in their respective sports. And, you know, you hate to see a guy end his career like that. But
could Usain Bolt outrun a shark?
Ooh.
That's tough.
Next year, we'll find out.
Yeah. And unfortunately for him, it wasn't just us Americans pulling for him. It was also his hamstring. No, but I was in Jamaica, not to brag, and there was some sort, I don't remember if it was Worlds or some sort of the Goodwill Games. It was one of those just offshoot international competitions, and he was disqualified for a false start, and you would have thought that their government leader had been assassinated.
Yeah.
Everybody at dinner that night was, oh, did you see the race? And like, yeah. Like, oh, that sucks. And, like, everybody was down. It just had a very bad feeling to it. And he's, I don't know if anyone, has anyone been.
He started up his bobsled team.
Yeah. He did. But in Jamaica, it is great. He is everywhere in Jamaica.
Yeah.
He was advertising for competing companies because companies don't care. They don't make him sign exclusive rights to their, like, I saw him advertising for a couple different cell phone carriers.
Yeah.
I saw him advertising for a couple different, like, cars. It's like they don't care down there because they just want his picture. They don't care. They're never going to get him to sign a non-compete or whatever.
Right.
They're an exclusive rights because he knows that he doesn't have to, and everyone's going to pay him crazy money just to show his face on a billboard.
Here's a topic I don't think everyone has really ever talked about before. Would Usain Bolt make a good NFL wide receiver?
That is why I hadn't liked him for a long time, was because that annoyed the shit out of me when people said that. Yeah, not even taking the account that he'd have pads on, that he'd have a cornerback checking him. They were just like, oh, he's fast. He'd probably be a good wide receiver.
Maybe I'm dreaming this up, but I'm pretty sure they did something where they put pads on him, and he was pretty ineffective. Like, he wasn't.
I think you're right.
He couldn't run, and he was not. And granted, that's the first time he's ever put anything other than shoes and shorts on, probably. But
I'm sure he's worn a shirt before.
Well, he's worn a shirt.
In the NBA celebrity basketball game, he dunked it.
Did he?
So, yeah. He could, so he can at least jump 10 feet, which is taller than Aaron Judge.
Ooh. Could he dribble and run at the same time, or was it just...
I think that like he caught a pass and then just went straight up with it. I don't think he was very good at dribbling. I didn't see. Nothing that he did was memorable except for the dunk. So I don't think he was an outstanding basketball player.
Maybe he'll join the big three.
Maybe he'll join the Cavs.
The Cavs could use a... I'd say he and Kyrie are probably about the same height, about six. I don't know how tall Kyrie is, but they're probably about 6'4"-ish, both of them.
I don't know. I have such a hard time judging the height of NBA players because I compare them to other NBA players. So I'm like, oh, that guy's short. And then I see his height, and I'm like, oh, he's like 6 inches taller than me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, right. That's my favorite thing to point out when we're watching NBA games is I'll point out and be like, see, and point out to my wife. I'm like, that guy right there, and usually Steph Curry because it's always the finals or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, Steph Curry, that guy's my height.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Like, that is insane because
remember
he
Allen
like
Iverson,
such a little...
like the smallest guy in the league? Yeah. He's my size.
Yeah.
Was Iverson that tall? I didn't think
he's
Iverson
like 6'1",
was...
is what he was.
Is he really?
At.
I always thought he was shorter than that.
Like Nate Robinson, like he's tall as Hefe.
Yeah. Oh my God, that would be so awesome if Hefe all of a sudden just went down to like 5'8".
So sticking with the Kyrie talk, it's been like this whole Kyrie LeBron saga just keeps unfolding, and I know people are probably getting tired of talking about it. But it came out, I guess, this past week that he went weeks during the playoffs without talking to his teammates.
Yeah.
And I know in the most recent Wake Up with Witty, you asked if he was a teenage girl.
Yeah.
Because that is exactly what a teenager would do.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to talk to you.
That first sentence was troubling in itself, that in a series of playoffs, you could go stretches of weeks without talking to somebody. That just shows how spread out the NBA playoffs are to begin with.
That's true. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah, it's seriously about another half of a season.
Yeah, that's why Usain Bolt could never be an NBA player, because it's a marathon, not a sprint.
He's from Jamaica, not Kenya. Yeah.
I feel like Kyrie's starting to look like the bad one in this whole ordeal.
Fuck LeBron.
Well, yeah, obviously, but I mean, with us being a LeBron cast, I think we gotta at least spit the truth a little bit. I don't know this whole thing, like Kyrie being bitter and not wanting, and I don't know what led to this, if there was any kind of incident. I don't know how true it is either, to be honest with you, but it just makes Kyrie look like immature, and I don't think that's gonna be the kind of thing that other GMs want to really take a risk on if they're gonna trade, because if they're going to trade for Kyrie, it's probably going to take a significant amount to get him.
Yeah.
You know, how much are you really going to be willing to give up if, you know, for this guy who could just end up being a spoiled brat kid, basically.
Yeah. And in another season, you know, he's like, I don't want to play on this team either.
Yeah. Fuck Kawhi Leonard. He's pissing me off. I want to be out of here.
Talking about someone he probably never talked to.
Yeah.
And that's not because they don't like each other. It's just Kawhi Leonard doesn't talk, I don't think.
He doesn't say words. He doesn't,
that's the other thing is, how do these guys, I don't know how they communicate. They're always wearing the Beats, and those things are pretty good at canceling out noise.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's necessarily Kyrie's fault or if it's just everybody had that hot new Kendrick album or whatever going.
The way that I took it is like, not only is he not talking to him, but he's not like texting or, you know, he's not doing anything with his teammates. That's the way that I took it. Like, even outside, you know, outside of the podcast, I don't really like to talk to Hefe, but I still will text him if I have to. So, like, that's the way that I took it, is that they're even, like, outside of the games, he was avoiding them.
If it's outside of the games, I feel like that's not that big a deal, but they're talking about, like, in practice, he wouldn't.
Yeah.
Like, how are you not communicating with your team in practice? You have to be communicating with them, I think, because you're working together as a team. I don't get how that even works. Like,
yeah, he wasn't calling out picks. What a dick.
Yeah.
He wasn't yelling ball, 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 ball.
I envision it like Kyrie just picks another player like Richard Jefferson and says, hey, Richard, tell LeBron I'm not talking to him right now. And then LeBron says something to Richard Jefferson to say back. And they're like going through a middleman. Like, that's how I envision. It's just like some 12-year-old girl. Like, you tell her I'm not talking to her until she gives me my blouse back.
I could definitely see LeBron being like that. Yep.
LeBron just subtweets.
LeBron's such a fucking bitch. I don't like Kyrie.
Tell me how you really feel.
I can't blame Kyrie for this. No matter what, if it came out that Kyrie assaulted LeBron's family, I'd probably still blame LeBron.
So sticking with the NBA talk, but moving off of Kyrie, who we are sick of talking about, let's talk about someone who we're not sick of talking about.
The
Ball family. Yeah.
I think I saw him more this weekend than I think I had in a while. So whatever LeVar's doing, he's doing it right. He's getting the guys back in the spotlight. It started by the rookie symposium or rookie whatever they call it.
It was like the rookie photo shoot.
Yeah. And he was wearing the big Baller brand shoes instead of the Nike or Adidas or whatever he had been wearing.
Yeah, doesn't have to worry about blowing it out for taking a picture.
That's right. But I'll let DB explain it since it's his boy. He did something a little unconventional at the picture.
That's true. Some opening thoughts, though. The Lakers jerseys looked fine. The new Nike ones came out. I didn't have any problems with them. They pretty much kept them the same. They just had
the Nike trim instead, like the
the
way that the stripes kind of stop towards the back.
Right, and I'm okay with that. They look like standard Lakers jerseys, which I'm glad that they kept them that way. It got announced that the big Baller brand shoes are going to be in NBA 2K18, so that's going to be like one of the unlockable shoes that you can get, which I think is a big deal for LeVar, that he got his BBB shoes into the game. And then back to what your original topic was, is that during the rookie photo shoot, they like to take a picture of all the rookies that got drafted that year. And how they typically do it is they have like the number one overall pick stand in the middle with holding the basketball. And then all the other players are like crowded around him. Markel Fultz this year was the number one overall pick, but it was Lonzo Ball that had the basketball in this photo.
Yeah.
So
I guarantee you that LeVar made him do that. They probably had a conversation back, like backstage or whatever, and LeVar's like, "Now, Lonzo, you take that ball because you're the best one on this in this. In
don't
this
give
draft
Markel class. That ball."
And,
yeah,
and Lonzo's like, "No, Dad, I don't want to do that." And he's like, "Lonzo, if you don't do that, you're out of the big baller brands."
No PlayStation for a month.
Ooh. He looks like an Xbox guy to me, anyway.
Yeah, probably.
I don't think that it's that big of a deal, like that people are making it into a bigger deal than it really is. No. I think it's funny, personally, since I'm a Lakers fan and I am forced to like Lonzo. I don't like LeVar. I'm not forced to like him. But I'm forced to like
until
Lonzo.
Until he gets signed.
Ooh.
Lonzo's growing on me. I would have said when I first had heard about him that I didn't like him, but I really don't mind Lonzo.
He's pretty self-aware. Like, he knows that his dad is annoying, which is a good thing. I don't know. Him holding the ball, I think, is funny. I called him an alpha on Twitter because that's always the, you know, who's the alpha of the group. That's always a funny thing to talk about. But
yeah,
I don't think it really matters that much. Fultz, there's probably a separate version of the picture with Fultz holding the ball somewhere.
Ever since that commercial he made of his dad where he was saying all the stuff that his dad's done, I've kind of liked Lonzo a little bit. I think he's pretty funny, and I like you said, he's pretty self-aware. So,
well, the Ball family, they didn't fail to capitalize on another thing coming to L.A. The Big Three was in L.A. this weekend, and Lonzo, I don't know if Lonzo was in the house at all or not. I know LeVar was. He shot... 4-point shots. He and Ice Cube had a 4-point shootout during one of the half times.
So during the Lexington contest, it was Rex Chapman, Rondo, and Michael Rapaport. Yeah, doing the shootout. It seems like this one it was Cube and LeVar, which they've had like a back and forth on Instagram for a while. Cube like challenged LeVar to shoot one, and then LeVar like posted a video of him shooting one. But he didn't show like the hoop in the picture, so it was just like him taking the shot, and then he's like, "Yep, it went in," like without actually showing it going in. So he challenged him. I think the stakes were like, you know, if Ice Cube won, he was gonna buy Big Baller Brand sneakers for LeVar's AAU team, And I don't know what LeVar had to do if he lost, but I guess it sounds like Ice Cube ended up winning.
Yeah, Ice Cube won. Controversial, but he won.
So with fall right around the corner, that means that our favorite TV shows are coming back into syndication. Most TV shows take the summer off, but we thought that a good topic for tonight's fantasy draft would be our all-time favorite TV show series. With the first pick in the draft, Mac.
I'm going to take one that I think we all probably could have. I don't know if everyone has it on their list, knowing that it was probably going to get stolen at some point. But I went with The Office for my number one overall pick.
Good selection.
You'll have to forgive the years where Michael leaves. Spoiler alert.
Whoa.
Yeah, I mean, like, the first 7 seasons are gold.
Wait, Michael, I didn't think Ricky Gervais's character was named Michael in The Office.
I'm assuming that Mac's talking about the U.S. version.
There's a U.S. version? Shit.
No wonder you said you didn't think The Office was funny and everyone had bad teeth.
So I tried watching the UK version of
it. So bad.
I couldn't get through it. Yeah.
The first episode is pretty much the same pilot episode, but it's just not good.
That was on my list, The Office. I don't know if I would. I probably would have taken it number one. It's quality.
Mm-hmm. I can watch any episode anytime.
Yeah. We still quote it back and forth all the time to each other too. I think that's one of the things in my head that I match with a good show is if I can quote it with my friends.
Right.
So most of my list is comedies.
I bet you $100 I know what your first pick's gonna be.
I will not take that bet because I am picking The Simpsons. It is my favorite TV show of all time. I think they're getting ready to do like their 29th or 30th season.
Yeah.
I am a huge fan of like the first 17, and I honestly haven't been keeping up with it since then. My brother and I grew up on that show and watched it on loop when they first started doing the DVDs of TV shows. I thought it was amazing, and my mom actually got G-Money and I that for Christmas one year, and we thought it was the best thing ever, and we just started watching them on loop, and that has not stopped for me. I still enjoy doing that.
That's a great show. I love it too. When the FX networks came out with their FX Now app, and they added the Simpsons world to it, where you can watch every single Simpsons. I said, all right, I'm just going to go through the series, however long it takes, and I'm going to watch every single episode. I think so far, I'm about halfway through the first season, so my progress has been pretty slow. But
I think I'm on season 3 now.
Nice.
But the thing that keeps derailing me is when I'm not really in the mood for an older episode, I'll do the random episode, and then I'll get on a track of watching just a bunch of random episodes rather than sticking to the plan.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I dislike about the FX app is the commercials. So I have like the first 16 on DVD that I'll still run through. And I used to have them all digitally. I don't think I do anymore though.
Legally, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, it's super legal.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Everything's above board.
Yeah. For my first round pick, I'm gonna go with The Sopranos. I've always been a sucker for anything kind of mafia, mob related. So, the HBO series Sopranos is one that I never had HBO, so I never really watched it as it was on. But in college, I just randomly started buying the series on DVD from eBay, and I got into it like that. And like I said, it's one of my favorite shows ever, I think. I wasn't a huge fan of the ending. I feel like it just kind of just didn't tie anything together, but I think the writers did that intentionally, obviously. But overall, it's probably one of the best series I've ever seen.
I never watched The Sopranos. I tried the first season. I actually borrowed from you, and I don't know what it was. I couldn't get into it though.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I think it takes a little while to get off the ground, but I think there are a lot of series that are like that. But
yeah, I feel like if I was in the right mood, I'd probably love it.
Yeah, the one thing, so, and this might just be me being nitpicky, but the one thing that's tough to kind of get into that series, watching the DVDs, is for whatever reason back then HBO didn't incorporate the playoff feature into their DVDs.
Yeah, that, so, I hate that.
Yeah,
That's how the Curb Your Enthusiasm and everything.
Yeah, that's exactly how Curb is.
I don't know why they did that.
All right, Hefe, you got back-to-back picks.
With my first round pick, I am going to go with maybe one that Mac might have had on his list. It's my favorite show of all time, Boy Meets World.
Good pick.
I've seen every single one of them so many times. I got in a stretch there where it was on ABC Family every day, so I would literally, as soon as I got home, I would watch it until it went off the air.
Yeah.
Came out at the right time when we were young. It was easy to relate to because we were going through a lot of the same stuff. So,
and I remember in college passing on classes that were scheduled from 2 to 3 because I knew that was Boy Meets World time.
So exactly.
If I could take it at a different point during the day or during the week, I would.
Yeah. With my bringing it back around with my second round pick, I'm gonna go with Eastbound and Down.
Ooh, that's good.
Every time I watch an Eastbound and Down episode, I laugh at something new. For those of you who don't know what it is, it's a story of a baseball player that's at the top of his game, and then he's brought down by drugs and rock and roll lifestyle, and then the whole story is him trying to make a comeback. And it's such an unlikely...
I think it started off as supposed to be pretty similar to John Rocker.
Yeah,
with the way that he talks about people and how racist and sexist and everything that he is.
It's on HBO, so it's obviously going to be vulgar, and it's just such a funny show. And I've seen it through so many times, but I laugh every single time at something different.
So fucking badass.
And again, it's quotable with our friends, so
yeah.
Like DB said, that's always important to me in a good show.
So one of the problems I have with Eastbound and Down is how unbelievable it is that Danny McBride is an athletic person. Because like when you see him like throw pitches and stuff, you're like, dude, he has never thrown like a pitch.
He's
in
never
his
thrown
life.
A ball before.
Yeah,
and I know that's one of the things that irritated Mac for a while with the show.
Oh yeah, it drove me nuts because you could tell that they got to the first day of filming and they realized they didn't have a glove. And they probably just went to Walmart and picked up the first glove they saw on the rack.
Yeah.
Or somebody's like cheap softball. I mean, I think he is playing with a softball glove in all the video of him of actually pitching. And that drove me nuts. I don't know why. It probably shouldn't have. But those types of things just do it. I mean, I got over it, obviously, because that was something I had on my list where I'd have probably gone with or put it on my honorable mention.
All right. So my second round pick is a show that, when I first saw promos for it, I thought I felt this way about a lot of shows where I'll see promos for it and I just think that looks so stupid. I'm never going to watch that. I'm never going to get into that. But then I finally get around to, all right, let me just check this out. And then I just think it's hilarious and it becomes one of my favorite shows. And that's exactly how it was for me with Always Sunny. So it's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I think we're all pretty big fans of that. And it's one of those ones that, it took a while for me to get into it, but once I got into it, it just, I could watch it endlessly. I could rewatch episodes over and over again. I would never get tired of them. It's another one that's extremely quotable, which, that's, again, that's a big thing for our criteria, I think, is making sure it's quotable.
Yeah, and I will give Always Sunny for single-handedly bringing back God damn it into my vocabulary.
Yeah.
I feel like I never used to say it, and now, just the way they always say it, and I started saying it as a joke, just repeating what they were doing, and now I say it all the time without even thinking about it.
That's actually the one thing that I am falling asleep to right now on Netflix is Always Sunny. I started the first season this past week,
and that first season's pretty good, but it gets so much better once Danny DeVito shows up in season 2.
And that's what I was gonna say, is my biggest issue with it was I saw the promos and I saw the pictures, but I always saw Danny DeVito's picture, but I watched the first season or part of the first season. I'm like, I have not seen Danny DeVito once. Like, what the hell's going on here? Is that even Danny DeVito? And then finally I see him show up, and the de-evolution of his character, Frank Reynolds, is one of my favorite things of all time.
All five of them.
Show.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah.
I mean, they turn it like they all slowly turn into like sociopaths.
Mm-hmm.
And in the later seasons, they started to get Frank, Danny DeVito's character, a little bit too far out there for my liking. Yeah. I kind of wish they would reel him back in a little bit, because some of it's to the point where I'm like, all right, so, this is almost not funny to me because he's so out there. But for the most part, he's still pretty damn hilarious.
The sweet spot for Danny DeVito's character, Frank Reynolds, in there is, and it's just this scene where he's walking down the street with a six pack ring of beers. And at one point he just stops and he's got foam coming out of his mouth because he's almost like gargling the beer. And then Max says something and all of a sudden Danny DeVito pops and he's like, whoa, what the? And he's like, where'd you come from? He's like, I've been walking with you for the last 3 miles. And not that specific instance, but that's that part of the series with Danny DeVito's character.
That's really when he starts spiraling.
Yeah, it's like he's still a believable person, but it's right where he starts to trend towards the bizarre.
Yeah. So most of our picks have been comedies so far, except for The Sopranos. I am going to break away from comedies for a second, and I'm going to go with Breaking Bad.
Nice.
Great show.
So Breaking Bad, if you don't know, is a story of a guy that gets lung cancer, only has a little bit of time to live, and decides that he's going to try and amass a fortune for his family to live on after he's gone. And he starts cooking meth. So it's really like...
It's the American dream.
Yeah. So Bryan Cranston plays the main character, and he does an awesome job throughout the series.
Yeah.
Like convincing you that this is really who he is. And it's crazy to see him turn from like this emasculated, teacher, to Scarface. Like that is the evolution of him throughout the series.
I just finally got my wife into that series and we just wrapped it up. Actually yesterday we watched the final episode.
Finale.
Yeah. She was definitely a big fan of it as well. So, and I enjoyed going back to a second time, 'cause it was always one of those ones where I would start a second run through, then I'd get sidetracked by another show or something else going on. But now I had an excuse to kind of go all the way through it because my wife hadn't seen it yet. And I'm glad I got to see it again, that second run through, just because there's so many little things that you don't pick up on.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those shows that I think I've only seen it one time all the way through. And I'm kind of waiting a little bit for me to forget some of the things before I go back through and watch it all again.
I've gone back through once or twice after I watched it the first time through, and some of the Easter eggs, mostly crazy. In the intro parts, so like before the credits start, the things that they essentially, and there's no way of knowing when you're watching it the first time through, but there's times where you're like, how did I not see this coming?
Right.
Like, this is like they just told me what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And but you don't know that until you know what's on the other end, you know.
It's another one of those shows that kind of like The Sopranos, where it starts a little slower and it takes you a while to get into it. Cuz like the first season, I probably watched 4 episodes and I was like, I don't know if I like this or not. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's one of those shows that takes a while for you to get into it.
Yeah.
It's truly one of those shows I binge watch. So I've seen it through 4 times.
Damn.
Complete start to finish. Nice. And it's just because when I watch it, I'll start at episode 1 every time I get into the mood for it, and I just can't stop watching it. I end up staying up till 1-2 in the morning, and I'm like, shit, I need to go to bed. And I love that show so much.
Now, I think I'm the only one here that's probably never watched Walking Dead at all, really. I may have seen 1 or 2 episodes. One of my favorite theories, and I can dive deep into Reddit theories and all kinds of different theories online about TV shows. The one that I do the most now is Game of Thrones. But one of the theories I've seen, and I don't know if I found this or somebody told me about this, but I've done a lot of reading on it, is Breaking Bad is essentially a prequel to The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that theory?
Yeah. No. Kind of explain it if you can.
Yeah, I can explain it relatively quickly. At one point at the beginning of Walking Dead, there is blue meth. There's blue meth in one of the bags.
Okay.
Which is pretty exclusive to Breaking Bad. There's never, like, that's not just a common, as far as I know. I'm not really up on the meth game, so. and then, I guess, what does he buy Walt Jr.? He buys him
is
like
the charger?
The charger. So that same exact charger is in The Walking Dead. And a guy is talking about his drug dealer who worked for some like shady dude in a hat or something. I forget. Like, he basically describes Heisenberg.
Gotcha.
But then he always talks about his drug dealer always calling him a bitch, which is Jesse.
Yeah.
Like, I'll have to find it and I'll send you the link. And this might be boring for the listeners who don't watch Walking Dead or anything, but
yeah,
it's it lines up so perfectly that essentially,
and it is, they are both done by AMC. So it wouldn't surprise me if those Easter eggs are in there, like you said.
But essentially the idea is Walt started the zombie apocalypse with his meth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Huh. So this has become a Breaking Bad podcast.
And better than LeBron. All right. So for my pick, I'm going to keep it in the same general genre. Sons of Anarchy.
Ooh, that was one of mine.
Still haven't seen it.
It could go down as, it's up there with Breaking Bad. Game of Thrones is my favorite non-comedy show.
Yeah, okay. I definitely agree.
And there are funny parts about it, obviously. And that's one thing that I think they do well is there's some funny moments. Jax Teller is bae. He's very attractive.
That's what I was going to say. So I had a lot that I was going to put on my list, and this was going to be one of the last ones to make it, simply because of the amount of times you get to see Charlie Hunnam's ass in it.
Yeah.
And he's the good-looking blonde, right?
Yeah.
That they show in... Okay.
Yeah. And talk about a complete mindfuck when you see him on a talk show for the first time and figure out he's British.
There's a couple characters on The Walking Dead that are British.
And it's... I think he's British. He's some sort of... but it's so confusing because he plays, you know, California biker trash.
Yeah.
And once you find out that he's British... you start to hear it in some of his, there's certain words he can't say, or they just like cut out completely because he couldn't say them. I forget what they are. But I saw an interview where he was talking about how he had issues with certain things on the show that he couldn't really say the way they wanted him to say because he wasn't convincing as a California guy. But that show's got everything. It's such a good show. It is funny. It's not humorous, laugh out loud funny, but there's funny moments in a bunch of the episodes.
Yeah. That's one of the ones that I've been wanting to watch and just haven't yet.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend it. Yep. And it's one of those ones too, where a lot of people that criticize it say that the first two or three seasons were great and then it just fell off and got terrible, but I loved it the whole way through. I will say I could see how they would kind of suggest that it kind of started to fall off, especially with the storytelling. It almost seemed like they would kind of get themselves into a hole and then the writers would write their way out specifically just to get them out of it. Some of it seems a little bit far-fetched, but I still found it entertaining.
I've got two last things on Sons of Anarchy, and then I'll move on with my last pick. It took me an embarrassing amount of time to figure out Jimmy Smith's character when he was calling Jax Teller Mono. It was just Hermano for short. I didn't realize that until someone pointed it out to me. Now I say it all the time to my wife, like, hey, Mono. and Witty had touched on this, but the only issues I had with the show were there were times where, like, how are these guys not all in prison?
Yeah.
And there, spoiler alert, and it's not really a spoiler, there are times where some of them or most of them are in prison at a time, but they do some things that would put them in prison for life or 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
And they just all of a sudden get away with it because of all of a sudden the witness died or all of a sudden they pinned it on somebody else. And it's like, this is not believable.
Yeah, if you're looking for accurate, true-to-life storytelling, this is probably not the place to go. But if you're just looking for pure entertainment, I would highly suggest Sons of Anarchy.
But it did make me want to buy a motorcycle for about a month there. So. oh, man, my last pick is tough. I got a couple really good ones. One that I've probably watched, and I'm not even exaggerating, I've probably seen this series 20 times through. Partially because there's not too many episodes or seasons, but Blue Mountain State. It is essentially American Pie meets Varsity Blues in college. I mean, it's, or Animal House meets Varsity Blues, or it's a funny show. It's got some people who have actually made it pretty big. They weren't big at the time, but now they have made it. It's about a college football program. They're very vague on what program they're supposed to be, but a lot of people say they're more of a, they're supposed to be written mostly about like an Alabama type school, mm-hmm. Where they're, you know, always the perennial contenders for the national championship every year.
It wouldn't be if they raised the ACT scores.
That's right. but no, it's one of my favorite shows, and it was on Spike. It was another show that I wasn't real big on at first. I didn't really care to watch it, and then I watched a random episode over at our one friend's house, and then I was like, hey, you know what, I'll give it a shot, and I went home, and they were on Netflix, and it's a funny show. It's got a lot of humor. If you like football, you like humor, and you like party scenes and stuff, it's pretty good. It'll make you miss college, and also make you wonder how many bye weeks a college team can have in a season.
Yeah, that's another one for me that was hard to get into at first, too. And I think you guys, for a while, tried to get me into it, and I would kind of look at it and just be like, "This, I can't. This just looks so stupid to me." But once I finally did give it a chance, I'm glad that I did, because it's hilarious.
It's one of the ones that I've still only gotten like through the first like six episodes, and I haven't gone any further.
Yeah.
Mac and I got a little hardcore into it there for a while.
I will say I did not really care for the movie that much. I didn't think it was... I thought it was a little bit over the top with a lot of the stuff.
Yeah, it was. It had funny moments, but the show is by far more quotable and funnier overall. Yeah. All right, DB, for your last pick.
So it's hard to choose this since it only ran 2.25 seasons. But I'm going Chappelle's Show as my very last pick. It's one of those ones that I can watch any episode at any time and still think it's hilarious. Looking at it now, it's pretty dated, like with some of just the way it looks and some of the jokes that they do, because it was made in like 2002 and 2003. So it is 15 years old now. But... just Dave Chappelle and the guy that he writes the show with are hilarious in it, and I love it. I could still watch it. I still do watch it now.
I went back and watched a bunch of old skits from the I guess it was last weekend or two weekends ago. I watched a bunch of them. One of them was the Mad Real World.
Yeah.
which is hilarious to me. Where I found out that they were actually true real world people on the show.
I had no idea. I did not know that.
Yeah. And but it's essentially this guy that gets thrown into the house with a bunch of people that he would have never probably hung out with normally, and it's not too great for him. and then another one I watched, and I know I've joked about this one with DB a lot, is the it's actually in the show that how it's dated, people wouldn't have any idea about this. But it was the making of the band where where Chappelle was playing P. Diddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so for us that were alive and in the wheelhouse, I didn't watch that show, but I was aware of it. Not Chappelle, but the making of the band. And just watching it and knowing what P. Diddy was at that time in his life.
Right.
It's perfect. Mm-hmm. Like, he did such a good job of being P. Diddy.
And we talk about it every time that we watch Chappelle's Show, and I know at least every time I watch it with DB, there were so many awesome skits in the first episode.
Yeah.
Like, it was like four of the main, like, best skits were in the first episode ever.
The black white supremacist, Clayton Bigsby. The first episode was a home run, like, out of the gate.
All right. I'm having a hard time figuring out what I'm going to wrap it up with. I got a few that I really want to put in here. I think I'm going to go South Park. South Park's one that I've been a big fan of a long time. It's one of those shows that on its surface, it's stupid and vulgar. It's fart humor, and that's what a lot of people, I think, are turned off by. But if you actually kind of watch it and pay attention to it, those guys, Matt Stone and Trey Parker, are so smart. Like, there's so many, like, topical, just intelligent jokes in there, and they're kind of buried under all the, you know, the swearing and the fart jokes. The four
kids yelling at each other.
Yeah, so yeah. Mm-hmm. I could get, if you're not really a fan of the series, you probably wouldn't pick up on that, but it's impressive. And the most impressive part is the fact that they throw it all together in a week, so that's pretty damn impressive. Those guys are geniuses.
And I think, like you said, just how genius they are and how the underlying meanings to all their jokes. The Margaritaville episode is the perfect example of that, where Randy keeps wanting his margarita. He makes and gets his Margaritaville, and he talks about how, you know, you don't need everything that you see that looks fancy, and while he's making a margarita out of his Margaritaville machine, and and it was, I mean, it had to do with corporate bailouts and right. people are just living beyond their means and everything. But if you're just watching it on its surface, it's funny because he's buying all these Margaritaville machines. And but I mean, it is exactly, I mean, they hit the nail on the head with the, you know, the average American family. And that's how most of their episodes are. It is so just your average American family, with the exception of Kenny. His family's not quite average.
One of the things that impresses me the most about that show, and I guess there's only been two examples of it, but with the last two elections, I mean, election night is Tuesday night. South Park is always out on Wednesday nights. They've had shows based on the results of the election the day after the election, which is, and they've been pretty damn funny too. Like I said, the way they can turn it around so quickly, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And the one they did was the South Park in 6 days was the documentary they had. It was about Obama's election. It was incredible watch. If you want to truly appreciate what they do, you have to check out that documentary, because it was, you can see the stress that they go through doing it. It was incredible.
There's one scene where Trey Parker is just sitting there hammering McDonald's, and you can tell he's stress eating. And the best part about that, and it was one, it opened me up to the fact that Bill Hader is actually one of the writers on the show. I had no idea. But another thing that was hilarious about that whole situation was that poor lady's job, where she had to keep calling the FCC.
Yeah. They like negotiated for what they could get in.
Like, okay, we'll take out one of these shits if you'll let us say.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know what the hell. But it was funny how they were at the table negotiating what they could not say.
And I think there's been one time in the history of the series where they couldn't get it out in time. I think they had to like rerun an old episode, and then I think they got it out for like the midnight showing of it, but they didn't get it for the 10 o'clock. And it had to do with a power outage at their studio, I believe. Like the entire studio's power went out, and they didn't have time to get it out there.
Yep.
I'm going to stick with the swearing and vulgar jokes for my last pick. It's a series I've watched through about 20 times. It gets funnier every time I watch it. That's Trailer Park Boys. It's a stupid show. The storyline is, for those of you who don't know what it is, it's a group of guys that have been lifelong friends. They're followed around by a film crew, and they're essentially trying a bunch of get-rich-quick schemes, and they're all criminal activities, so they go to jail several times throughout the series, and it's just so damn funny to me, and I find something, every single time I watch it, I find something different that makes me laugh. It's very quotable, which was a theme of the whole draft for us. I know that Mac watches it quite a bit. Not sure how much Woody and DB watch it, but I know that me and Mac watch Trailer Park Boys religiously. So
it's one of those ones that I have tried to get into once again, and I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, it was one that I think I was always aware of, but never really even bothered to try and watch it until one day. I think I had an entire Saturday with nothing to do. I saw somebody quoting it on Facebook. So I was like, all right, I'm going to look up this show and watch it. And I probably burned through 3 or 4 seasons just in one day by myself. And I was like, this show is hilarious. And it is. it's kind of suffered some of the same fate in my mind as some of the other shows on the list, where I feel like it's kind of fallen off a little bit as it's gone along. And I haven't watched the last I think, season or two, but the early seasons are definitely some of my favorites, and those characters are so ridiculous and outlandish, but they're so funny about it that I don't think it really hurts things that they're so sometimes unbelievable. But it's a hilarious show. I love that show.
Well, that's a pretty good all around, and that's gonna this might be our longest fantasy draft of all time.
Yeah.
I just blurred out my last two that were on my honorable mention was How I Met Your Mother. Yeah. I feel like that's another one you can binge watch. And another one I binge watch, and I don't know if it fits the rest of our draft, but Family Feud.
The ones I had a hard time leaving off were Futurama, which I think is a very underrated show.
It is.
Love it. Big Bang Theory. I think those guys are hilarious. I'm
nerd.
And then the last one I had that I had a hard time leaving off was Parks and Rec.
That's a good one too.
That was on my honorable mentions list. The other two that I was gonna put on there. This one is I don't know if it's really like a series, but Saturday Night Live is always something that I really enjoy watching. I mean, it's technically a series, but it's one of those mainstays that doesn't really go away, kind of like Family Feud. Like, it's always going to be a show. It's not really it's not really like a show. It's It's a mainstay on TV. And then I also had Workaholics.
Yeah.
I love that.
I hit the ones that I was kind of contemplating were the League was one of them. Robin Big was one of my other ones.
Yeah, no reality shows made our list, so I'm happy with you guys.
Well, if we do this one after the Ball Family gets the reality show, then that'll be number one on my list.
Yeah.
One of the ones that I know probably, I think Mac might, I know Mac likes it, was Broad City was another one that I wasn't going to put on my main list, but it was an honorable mention. That was my last honorable mention.
All right, thanks for checking out the show. As always, be sure to check out our website, millironsports.com. You can follow us on Twitter, at @millironsports. In the bio for that Twitter handle is the individual Twitter accounts for all of us. Be sure to hit the like button on Facebook, facebook.com/millironsports. And also be sure to subscribe to the podcast, rate, review. Make sure you tell us what you like, what you don't like. Some people have already ruined some of our late segments. rest in peace today, I learned. Tell us what you do like and tell us what other things that we could cut out. Maybe 3-hour long fantasy drafts can be cut down a little bit next time. We'll see you on Thursday. Bye.
Thanks for listening.